Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The cream rises to the top. Andy P, Big G, Level Up Podcast, College Football. Back in the building on Fans First Sports Network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, everywhere we can watch it. And today, we live on YouTube. Andy P, what's crack-a-lacking, bro? What's going on? We back in the building talking college football for real, for real.
Yeah, I'm sorry for leaving y'all high and dry. I had to go to a work conference. I got very lucky. I was able to go to the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference through work with really, really great time, but just meant that the schedule got a little wonky. But the best part, and Big G, we're gonna dive right into this stuff. First panel of the day. I show up there. I'm in Boston. It's cold. It's rainy. There's a volleyball tournament happening. Hundreds of, like, tens of thousands of volleyball players are in Boston, and then all these nerds are upstairs, like, talking about sports. First panel of the day at 8:30 in the morning. It's about the future of college athletics with the athletic directors of UCLA, the head of the NCAA compliance initiatives, the commissioner of the Big East Conference, all talking about where college football is going. And I was just sitting there like, oh, yeah, this is what I came for. This is the stuff that we are all interested in. And I'm glad everybody who's tuning into this show, you're going to hear a little bit about that. You're going to hear about me and Big G talking about all these things because, man, in the 2 weeks since we've talked, feels like the entire sport might have changed in just 2 weeks, which is wild.
Yeah, but Andy, remember, we tried to tell the people that watch us and listen to us on YouTube and all the live, all the audio podcasts, that every time that we hit the air, be it if it's live on YouTube and or a simulcast on FFSN, stuff is going to change because this is a brand new world. The NC2A, in my opinion, is cooked. But we're going to have a conversation about what's actually going to happen concerning rules, regulations. Wait till we tell you about this one story with this new union thing going on with this college, man, because they're going to trip when they hear about this stuff. So let's get right to it, Andy. First topic, right off the bat, the NC2A and the injunction concerning the rules with NIL. What does this mean for college football? Because we had somebody file and somebody's trying to unionize. And we got a whole different ball game jumping off, man. What you got, Andy? Fill them in. Tell them about the conference that you just came from, bro.
I mean, the biggest takeaway right now is that college football is essentially, we talk about the NC2A, we talk about this college football body at large. Really, man, it is, you know, 128 individual schools playing football, another 350 individual schools playing basketball. And they're all operating as independent businesses that kind of get loosely together in a conference. And then those conferences loosely get together to form the NC2A. And so, and so what happens is that you get these weird cases where the NCAA wants to run things top down. Hey, we make a decision. Everybody else adopts it. Correct. Problem is that, like, man, you can just look at sports gambling. It's different from every state to state. It's the same way with college sports. It's different from state to state. And what we're seeing now is the downside of these colleges trying to eat their cake and have it too, where they want to remain autonomous. They want to have that power. They don't want to be beholden to the NCAA. But what that means is that you exist as an individual entity in your state. And that means you have to listen to the state laws, and state laws change all the time, man. Like, especially right now, like this year, without getting too deep into it, like every 4 years or so, the rules really change in a state because new people are coming into power. Yeah. And so what we've seen in Virginia, in Tennessee, in Connecticut, is that we have these three different states that run things very differently, all bringing up different elements of what is trying to be a national conversation, a national set of rules, whether it's NIL in the case of Virginia and Tennessee, or whether it's labor law in the case of Connecticut. And again, me looking at this, been through this ringer before. We talked about it last time. If you haven't looked up the former Northwestern football player unionization story, go and look that up without you know, diving too deep into it. They got this far as well, and eventually a national court struck down the unionization and said that you couldn't unionize as college athletes.
Facts.
That was a long time ago. But between this and the NIL stuff, man, Virginia and Tennessee basically coming out and saying, like, look, you don't have to listen to the national NIL rules. You cannot be punished for the national NIL rules. This is opening a bunch of floodgates that the NCAA essentially has to say, like, look, we have to either come together as a separate body that runs, or y'all got to treat them as employees. Because this NIL middle road is not going to last for very long.
Yeah, I mean, the reality of it is this, you know, so it's like how you laid it out. It's a twofold deal. You had an injunction filed on one side to where teams were moving forward with this whole NIL, trying to push it and all whatever else. And an injunction was filed to slow that down. And almost simultaneously, Dartmouth. So any of you guys that's out there, if you Google what's going on with Dartmouth University, Dartmouth men's basketball team votes to unionize as a team, which means that they are no longer college athletes. They are employees of the university, because in order to be a union, you got to be an employee. So there's certain rules, regulations, laws, standards, bylaws that all follow these people. So now it's not just I'm getting a scholarship to come here and play, and I might get a dollar amount allotted to me per, you know, for my room or outside housing. If I decide to get a dorm room, I get so much money for food and all whatever else. No, bro. Like, they are legitimately employees. And by being an employee, what are you going to do? Because, you know, just like anywhere else, when you start talking about salaries and all whatever else, they're tiered based on education, based on experience, based on what you bring to the table, based on how much value you bring to the table. So, like, this is the and also this part too, bro. Most people don't realize what went down at Northwestern. Yeah, they pushed all that stuff down, but ultimately that's where the whole terminology of NIL came from, was Northwestern University. So we thought it was this anomaly, and here we are 5, 6, 7 years later, and we got full-blown NIL and anarchy going on in college football. That's making guys like Nick Saban and everybody else jump out the game because they're like, look, I can't handle this. So now we're to the point to where teams are saying, okay, we unionizing. We're employees anyway. So we need benefits, insurance, we need everything. And it might jump off, man. So that's why this is so, because literally me and Andy could come on here next week and there being another injunction filed. And like, it's done totally changed. And now these big time universities is like, wait a minute, you mean my players are my employees now? You mean I can't cuss them out? You mean I can't treat them unfair because they're employees? Oh man, it's a lot going on, man, with this topic. So Andy, just based on those bullet points, bro, what you thinking, man? Are you muted? You muted. Don't get fined, Andy.
Nah, I got fined. There we go. Man. There's the first fine of the day. I got
man, straight fine.
There we go. Into the fine box. So Tim can eventually play whatever he needs to play out in Washington. That's where the fine's going. Going to Tim in the chat. No, it was funny because at this conference, we were one of the first things that was brought up was this idea. And the UCLA athletic director brought up a really good point, which is that when athletes become employees, this whole state by state, separate by separate setup that they have is going to cause major issues because there are different labor laws that govern each individual school of a conference.
Facts.
So what the University of Kansas needs to do for its employees is very different than what UCLA needs to do for its employees.
Facts.
And now as we talk about this nationalization of college conferences, you're talking about very different standards across the board. And the elephant in the room that no one wants to talk about is that when you look at professional athletes, because they are professionals and they are traveling across state lines to perform their job, they get taxed in a whole other way than you or I do.
Yeah.
Maybe like 2% of the people listening to the show understand how that works. But like, I remember when Andrew McCutchen showed his pay stub back on Twitter, I think it was like 2014 when he left it behind in a visiting locker room, somebody snapped a picture of it and you got to see what an MLB salary looks like. Like he obviously has to pay, you know, the 50% federal income tax rate. But when you are a professional employee, you are an entertainer. You have to pay hotel taxes when you go into a different area. You have to pay a visiting state tax that most states have. So now you're talking about these athletes needing to have full-time accountants on staff in order to help manage all these things so that the IRS doesn't come after these kids. And I think the biggest takeaway of this whole thing is that you go and you say, like, look, at the end of the day, this is all about football. Basketball definitely plays a part in that. I am not saying that basketball doesn't make money.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the football money is an entirely different ballgame than every other sport.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Val Ackerman, commissioner of the Big East, said is that like this is accelerating the eventual divide between football and everything else.
Yes.
And so Big G, you and I talked about it before. Like, is it 2027? Is it 2028? Is it 2029? But it really feels like by 2030, we are going to have collegiate football that's loosely attached to colleges and the NCAA. And then we're going to have every other sport that is directly attached to the NCAA and run very differently than football. Because remember, the college football playoff is not run by the NCAA.
Facts.
March Madness is. March Madness is what the NCAA cares the most about protecting. The college football playoff is its own separate entity. And I just think that at this point, you talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think this was probably three shows ago when we were talking about SEC Big Ten becoming the AFC and the NFC of college football. All this is showing to me is that, man, if you're the Big Ten and SEC, you better be having those conversations ASAP, man. Because if you don't, the NCAA is going to try to insert themselves in there.
Yeah.
And it's just going to get even messier if the schools do not have a direct say in how this stuff goes down.
Yeah. And think about it, Andy. That's why, see, and we were trying to prep the people that listen to us and watch us, you know, as far as Level Up is concerned. That's why we were dropping, like, you know, little breadcrumbs and telling folks when the SEC and the Big Ten met together a couple of weeks ago, that wasn't by accident. See, they knew this information way before most people, you know, and based on like the people that Andy's connected to some of the folks that I know, we were getting little hints and signals, like smoke signals was coming up. Like, listen, man, the NCAA is cooked concerning college football. It's like, it's a done deal. The last straw is the conference realignment and like Notre Dame trying to figure out where they're going to go. Once they figure out conference realignment, once they figure out where Notre Dame's going to go, hey, man, they're going to separate. And it's going to be like the super conferences, like you say, are loosely connected to the NC2A. And what I mean by loosely, like loosely. You might get a commercial that says this is an NC2A with a little blue sticker seal on the end of it. But no, it's a moneymaker. And then all the rest of the stuff is like, okay, that's college athletics. Because the amount of money that's changing hands right now. And Andy, you're saying 2030, no later? Bro, I'm going to call it G-Stradamus. 2027, it's over. But and depending on one of the other subjects we're going to talk about on the show, it can even be accelerated even faster. Because the college football playoff committee, is already cooking up something to shift it already. And we ain't even played the 12 yet. So we'll get to that subject. But, bro, this thing is for real, for real. And you're going to see money like you've never seen before, ever. Go through the hands of these programs like the Texases, like the Michigans, like the Ohio States, like the Florida States. Like, your money is going to flow. And that's why I'm like, man, there's no regulations. This is the Wild West for college football. Andy, your thoughts about that, bro?
I mean, we see it going off in the chat right now between Tim and Afton. That, like, this is – Notre Dame is not going to join a conference because it wants to. Notre Dame is going to join a conference because it needs to.
Facts.
Because at the end of the day, as we talk about this amount of money, it's going to come down to the conferences. The Big Ten and the SEC have made it really clear that they control college football. And we're about to get more into the weeds on that very particular subject. Mm-hmm. But what that means is that if you're on the outside of that, you are begging and scrapping to become into whatever this next thing is. And I do think that there is an opportunity where, let's hypothetically say that the SEC wants to become the AFC, the Big Ten wants to become the NFC, and they want to add a few more teams just to like round it out, or they want to have some not as good teams in there to, for fodder on the schedule, so that way every team just doesn't go 6-6. Way that the records look better.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see something like, again, I'm wish fulfilling with Syracuse here, but I think Syracuse is a good example where, hey, Syracuse football, you're going to participate in this elite collegiate football league that we are forming. But the rest of the sports, like, what are you supposed to do with that? The ACC collapses because of all these moves. Yeah. Well, the rest of Syracuse sports goes and joins the Big East, and the NCAA ends up happy because at the end of the day, the Big East basketball is a brand that makes March Madness stronger, which is what the NCAA, again, directly controls in terms of its revenue. So for them, doesn't matter what Syracuse football does. We just care that the Big East as a basketball unit is held together. And basketball can be a lot more regionalized. Basketball can be a lot smaller, tighter conferences.
Yes.
Work out well. And
yes.
I think that that's really what I think is going to happen after this whole thing falls apart, is that these mega conferences will exist at the AC or at the Big Ten SEC level. Everyone else is going to go back to those really hyper-local conferences because your basketball, your gymnastics, a sport that's growing day by day, your softball, your women's basketball, they still need to play. They still generate revenue for the school, just not as much. The players can still get a little bit of NIL money on the side. It's just not as much as football, which is really what's setting the whole thing off.
Total facts. Andy, this leads us right into the next topic, right? Because this topic is, when I heard this news, when I got it officially, like we had talked about it like in between, like it actually happening. But when I got it officially, I remember I text you and you was like, holy crap, what the heck? And I was like, dude, it's a done deal, right? They've already met. It's a wrap. It's just, they can't push the envelope because of the television contracts. So I'm going to preface you guys and tell y'all, this ain't no rumor what me and Andy Gary tell you. This like the real deal, all right? Andy, hit him with the subject, man. Tell him what time it is. Playoff expansion. Playoff expansion. We are talking playoff expansion. Go ahead, Andy.
Literally, last time we talked here, Big G and I talked about what the new 12-team playoff would look like, how it would impact things. And literally, since we last talked, there has yet to be a playoff game in the new 12-team playoff. I just want to make that clear. We have yet to play a new playoff game in the 12-team format.
Facts.
We are now expanding to 14 teams.
Yeah.
it's not even...
Yeah, it's a done deal.
It's doesn't matter. Big Ten, SEC are saying that like they're discussing it, that they'd really like it. It's going to happen. Playoff is going to 14 teams. Uh-huh. And I think what really actually made the Big Ten and the SEC want to go for 14 instead of just the 12 was the 12-team format that we talked about last time. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a guaranteed top four seeds of Big Ten, ACC, SEC, and then whatever the fourth best conference is, whether it's it's probably not going to be the MAC, but whether it's the MAC, whether it's the Big 12, or probably the Big 12, You've got this opportunity for the top four conferences to automatically have the top four seeds, which means that those top four teams get a bye. And what a lot of people kind of called out, what a lot of people saw in that structure is that, man, ACC champion, like this year's Florida State getting a top four seed. Sure, that's fair when you talk about the holistic season that they play.
Yep.
But that's not what the TV people want. That's not what the Big Ten and the SEC want. Big Ten and SEC are turning around and saying that we have a three-loss team that's better than an undefeated Florida State. So how do we get more of those types of schools? More of those two- and three-loss schools that we know are just head and shoulders better than the second- or third-place team of another conference? How do we get them into this playoff? How do we prove that this is really a two-conference league? And that's where this 14 play – that's literally the whole breakdown of why they want to do 14. It's about getting more SEC and Big Ten teams in the playoff because they know that that's what's going to happen. They know that's what – honestly, like talking about getting the best 14 teams into the playoff, it's probably what should happen. But this is why when anybody turned around and said playoff expansion was going to be good for college football as a whole – you're deluding yourself, man. This whole playoff expansion is explicitly for the Big Ten and for the SEC.
Absolutely. And because, think about it, from a revenue standpoint, based on television contracts with Fox, ESPN, ABC, and now some of these privatized stuff like Peacock and all whatever else, where you got to have a subscription to be able to watch a game, people are not going to pay to watch Syracuse play North Carolina State. But they will pay to watch Alabama play Michigan.
Yes.
They're going to pay for that, right? And so the expansion now puts it to where, okay, the television contracts are there, but we're going to guarantee you the big games that you want, that most people preference that they want at the beginning of the season, now is going to take place at the beginning and at the end. You'll still have those big-time cross-conference rival games like – this year, I think Texas plays Michigan, right? That's a big-time cross-conference rival. However, at the end with the 14-team playoff, and oh, by the way, they're going to set the format identical to the NFL. The AFC number one seed gets a bye. The NFC number one seed gets a bye. Oh, the SEC number one seed will get a bye. The Big Ten number one seed will get a bye. And then the other six battle it out. So you know, because for the next round. And so moving forward, okay, my champion gets a bye, and then I still get a couple of other teams sprinkled in there. Oh, people are going to pay out the wazoo to be able to watch playoff football. If not in person, if not subscription, if not television revenue. And this is the point that we don't even get a chance, but just touch a little bit about the subject. If you're – how you know for a fact – that your school is tied to these tiers of these big-time schools, they're already talking about expansion of stadiums. They're already talking about expansion of facilities. There is millions and millions of dollars being dumped into these football programs, like as we speak. So like a place like the Big House, don't be shocked if they get a 10,000-seat expansion sometime in the next 2 years. A place like down there in Austin, Texas, Doak Walker Stadium, 15,000 in the next 2 to 3 years, where they expand the brake shoes off of the facility. Because this is about to be a multi-billion dollar business, if it's not a multi-billion dollar business as of today, for sure. Andy, what's your thoughts on that, bro?
No, I mean, a lot of people are going to look at this cynically and like, listen, I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't like this, man. Like, my team's one of the teams that's going to get squeezed out. Like, this is going to be different than the way that I was brought up on college football. Like, I remember Nebraska being a national power in college football and growing up watching Tim Couch, absolutely. Beast. Like, this is the next evolution of the sport, and it's not fun to watch. But this has always been in the works. Remember when we used to play these big week one, week two games in these NFL stadiums, and we proved that when you put two teams that don't normally play each other but have massive, ravenous fan bases, you could make a lot of money both in person and on TV. Like you said, Big G, like no one is paying to watch a Syracuse, North Carolina State game, but the power of college football is that when the North Carolina Syracuse game is on ESPN, more people will watch that than anything else that any other sport can offer on a Saturday. Facts. More people will watch that than golf. More people will watch that than any other college sport. They'll watch it more than baseball. It's just the power of football. And this is like where I think talking about college sports gets really difficult, because at the end of the day, look, man, college sports has something that no other sports league has. Mm. Every single year, hundreds of thousands of kids enter into one of these schools and immediately become fans of that sports program.
Big facts.
The NFL isn't doing it. The NBA isn't doing that. The NHL isn't doing that. MLB is definitely not doing that. No other sporting entity that we can talk about is guaranteed to produce new fans the way that college sports can. So at the end of the day, every TV exec, everybody who's in control of the money can sit back and say, you know what? For every fan that we lose, we're creating a new fan who loves this system, because it's the only thing they've ever known. Mm-hmm. And that is why college sports can continue to morph and change and move in the way it does. Do I like the fact that this is different than what I grew up with? Absolutely not. But what I am realizing is, like you're talking about, we are going to get matchups that we have never seen before on a regular basis. We are going to see Bama come north in the winter. We are going to see schools from the north play in the south at a frequency that, like, just frankly, could never even physically or legally happen until the 1970s. This is a whole new era that we're entering into, and I think that there's going to be so many conversations comparing this new era to what was, and that's fair, but we have to just kind of admit that, like, look, this is an entirely new beast that we're talking about. The football on the field is still going to be football, but everything else around it is going to change, and we kind of have to be okay with that. And at the end of the day, like, look, if you're a fan of Ohio State, and there are millions of fans of Ohio State, if you're a fan of Notre Dame, there's millions of fans of Notre Dame.
Big facts.
Millions of fans are going to enjoy this. And people like me, who are a Syracuse fan, like, I'm going to be sad. I'm still going to watch. And that's why this is happening.
So I this is just a sidebar question off this topic. And I'm just going to ask you, how, considering the fact, like you said, you're diehard Syracuse, been with the Orangemen forever. How soon do you think that some of those middle-of-the-pack tier schools, like the Syracuses, like the Kansases, like the Kansas States, like the Colorados, how long before those schools level up to be able to say, listen, we want a part of that revenue share that you got going on? Because like how we're talking about these millions of dollars that are going to go through the big-time schools already, what happens when one of these other schools say, hey, look, bro, we're all in? I remember being in Austin, and I saw Baylor change. I mean, literally, because Waco's like right there. And like, we went to the stadium like 1 year, and then like 3 years later went to the stadium. And I was like, holy crap. You know, like, they were brand new off the lake, everything. I was like, what is this? So how long before you think schools like the Syracuse, like the Baylors, like the Kansas States, that are excellent sports schools, but just not on the tier, how long do you think before they do it?
Well, I think ultimately it's going to come down to the alumni of the school. Syracuse, I think, did all, like, sticking with Syracuse, like, I think they did all the right things. They brought in an elite recruiter who poached 4 stars away from Georgia and Texas A&M and schools that Syracuse should not be poaching from.
Yeah.
But Syracuse is trying to set the establishment that the best Northeast talent runs through Syracuse.
Facts.
That is, and their goal with this is now to turn around to all those alumni in the Northeast and say, like, look, if you want us to be the predominant power in the Northeast, you got to pay us. You got to pay up. Like, this is not a cheap endeavor. And I think that's going to be the big difference. Like, you saw, I think Baylor's a great example of a school that there's a lot of money to be had in Texas.
Oh, big
money. And Baylor found those people with the money. And like, look, I don't know if Chip and Joanna Gaines are donating to Baylor on a regular basis, but I know for a fact Chip and Joanna Gaines donated to Baylor at least once, man. They are not
big
shy
facts.
About that.
Big facts. Yeah. Big facts,
but,
man.
Like, that's the kind of money you need to go after. And that's the kind of money that some of these schools just don't have. Like, I feel for a school like BYU that just made the jump up to a conference. They're in the Big 12. Historic program. Like, absolutely historic program. Man, I do not know if they have the money in their alumni base to fund what you need to do to get into that space, to get the facilities, to get the recruiting that you need to do. And so until, and this will never happen, but until they go to schools, whether it's the NC2A or whether it's the conferences that say, you can only have this many off the field staff. You can only have this many people working in the athletic department.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the money from alumni is going to dictate whether you can truly level up or not, because like one of the things that I think we'll get into at a later show, man, now that Alabama doesn't have Nick Saban, what Nick Saban did rehabilitating coaches, bring in a 30-person staff of 30 of the best minds in football together.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Is Georgia going to do that? Is Georgia going to pay for that? Because Nick Saban made Alabama pay for it.
That's right.
That's part of the reason why Alabama was so good. Like, it costs money to be good at college football.
And yeah.
Some places have it. Some places don't have it.
Man, I totally agree. Hey, listen, Andy, we're going to take a quick ad break. For all those that are watching us on YouTube, please give us about 10 seconds. We got to play a couple bills. But we'll be right back on the Level Up podcast on Fans First Sports Network. Andy P and Big G in the building talking college football and college sports. Give us 10 and we'll be right back. And we're back with the College Football Level Up podcast, Fans First Sports Network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Andy P, Big G in the building. Bro, what is crack-a-lacking, Andy? What's going on? We had a good conversation on part one. Part two, let's do what we do, bro.
Yeah, I know. We've been focusing on the off-the-field stuff. Now I think it's time for us to turn our attention back to the field. I know that it's the off-season. There's always going to be off-the-field stuff that's happening. But, man, we got some coaching staff weirdness. We got spring ball picking up. Like, it's time for some X's and O's talk, man.
Bro, Andy, this is the craziest part about all of this, man. We keep saying the same thing over and over again, and it's like we're not insane. But we keep telling them, like, when we come back, I'm telling y'all something going to jump off, you know. And here we go again with the coaching carousel. Eric Bieniemy, bro. UCLA, bro. What the heck is going on? What? Eric Bieniemy with UCLA? Talk to me, Andy, man. What's going on, man?
When you sent me that, I thought it was a fake news thing. Like I thought it was one of those like fake news things that gets generated where it's like, like this is so unbelievable that it's fake. And man, we're gonna really veer into Big G and Andy talk right here.
Yeah,
man, why don't the Steelers hire that guy, man? Like, why? You could name 15 NFL teams that need a new offensive coordinator that he could have gone to. And would have been received with open arms. The fan base would have been so excited.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh being at the very top of that list.
Uh-huh.
And instead, he can't find a job, yet Arthur Smith does. We're going to talk about that off air. That's an off air conversation.
Big facts.
I cannot censor myself enough on air to talk about this on FFSN, man.
That's hilarious.
He's going to UCLA, which I do think is interesting. We talked about it probably two shows ago when the new UCLA coach news broke. Like this was very clearly a continuity hire, and UCLA was entering the Big Ten, and we both agreed that, man, UCLA is starting to look like they might be a bottom tier Big Ten school.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of swing you have to take in order to counteract that. Like, I don't know what UCLA's roster is going to look like when it happens. We still have another transfer portal cycle to go through. We still have time for their roster to kind of upgrade and fill in the holes that they lost because of the Chip Kelly move.
Mm-hmm.
But, and like, I am interested to hear your thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bieniemy's an upgrade over Chip Kelly when it comes to offensive design, offensive play calling. You're getting a guy that was so successful at the NFL versus a guy that had mediocre success in the NFL and recruited well in college, but wasn't doing anything crazy. So I think ultimately UCLA has no designs of keeping him long-term here, but we talked about it last show. Coaching staffs are getting a lot better at the college level.
Yes.
This is one where I did not think he would ever come to college, and yet here he is at UCLA of all places. And I'm still just a little surprised.
Yeah. So I got a couple of thoughts. First thought is this. It made all the sense in the world. whether people realize it or not, it made all the sense in the world. Because Eric Bieniemy is from Los Angeles, California, number one. He's from L.A. Matter of fact, I think he went to Fairfax High School, if I remember right. But there was a whole group of guys that left Los Angeles and went to the University of Colorado. I mean, it was like Darian Hagan, Eric Bieniemy. I think Charles Johnson was part of that group. Alfred Williams, Canavis McGee. They had this big conglomerate of guys from California because Coach McAfee was going to California to get athletes to be able to pair up against Nebraska. Because back then, that's when Nebraska and UCLA in the Big Eight was the big fight. So by them hiring him, Bieniemy is already naturally connected to those high schools in that region, right? So now my drawing point as the coach or the special offensive coach and all whatever else, basically he's the – if something happens to the head coach and they decide to fire him, Bieniemy's the coach, basically, without going into that big, long title of what he is. They have a recruiting tool to say, okay, this guy coached Pat Mahomes, boy. Okay, this guy ran a good ship offensively with the Washington Commanders. He knows what he's doing. He's a homegrown product. Versus you going to go to crosstown rival USC, versus you going all the way to Ohio to play for an Ohio State or the Michigan or the Penn State, you come right here to UCLA and you get NFL coaching that's going to get you to the next level. And Andy, that's the sneaky move I think that's going on with UCLA, because I don't think they're going to be satisfied by being at what, a top two or three city in the country with two universities to sit right in the middle of it, have all those high schools modern day. I mean, I'll run down the list. A big time high schools from California, and they not be able to go walk in a modern day high school and say, look, I want him playing quarterback for this school so that we can beat them. And he doesn't have to go anywhere. Mom, dad, aunt, uncle, cousin, friend, whatever. Right here, you can watch him play in our stadium. So that's like my two thoughts about Bieniemy. Homegrown product, NFL coaching caliber, coaching status to be able to literally try to draw circles around that UCLA recruiting area and say, look, no, you ain't got to go nowhere to get no NFL coach. You stay right here. That's just my thoughts, Andy. Your thoughts?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, dude. And as our boy Tim Lyons is reminding us in the chat, Bieniemy finished third in the Heisman voting, man. Like it is so rare to find a guy who is that talented as a player who ends up being that good of a coach as well. Like usually, you know, the worse you are as a player, the better you are as a coach. Mm-hmm. That's not his case. And I do think that for UCLA, this is an absolute home run. Like the Chip Kelly quotes have come out, and like, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, Big G, because again, you're the Ohio State guy here. It really sounds like Chip Kelly did not want to do the administrative work of being a head coach. He did not want to be leading a program. Yeah. He wants to go into a back room and just whiteboard some crazy offensive stuff. But what Bieniemy wants to do is, like, he's wanted that leadership role forever. Like, he's wanted an NFL head coaching job forever. At the collegiate level, you have to take on some of that responsibilities because of the way staffs are structured. And like you said, it does feel really clear that either he's going to get the UCLA job or this is my sneaky theory here. Coach Prime has always made it very clear that Colorado might not be a full-time thing. They're going to the Big 12 this year. They're trying to do the transfer portal thing. They're completely revamping their offense. I don't think Coach Prime is done after this year. I do think Colorado is going to be better this year. And if Colorado puts together two better seasons in a row and Coach Prime shows growth at Colorado, someone with a bigger paycheck book is going to want to hire him. And Bieniemy is going to be sitting at UCLA in the Big Ten, hopefully running a really successful offense with that very long title that basically says I'm number two in control. Man, it kind of feels like the dominoes are now set up that if things fall the right way, he goes home and takes over his alma mater. Which to me, that Like I'm not the biggest Deion Sanders fan in the world as a head coach. I think we've covered that on this show a lot.
Yeah, facts.
But him coming home to Colorado, just as interesting as Deion Sanders at Colorado. And this is the most we've talked about Colorado in my entire lifetime as a college football fan.
Yeah, I think that that's set up. If I had to say there was a sneaky suspicion, because I think that this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think that once Florida State jumps to the Big Ten, like once they jump, primes the coach. I'm just telling you, there's no way in the world Deion Sanders is not going to be the head coach of Florida State University. Once they jump, he's gone. So that would make sense for to bring give Bieniemy the experience with dealing with the collegiate level stuff from an administrative standpoint. And then as soon as Deion jumps, he falls in. And then now that's his school. And then how much money does Colorado invest? Because they've already invested a lot of money. But then how much money do they invest now? Because now we got our homegrown kid here. We're really going to amp it up because we want to be part of this bigger picture thing. So I've always said all along, I think that two or three of those Big 12 teams are going to get poached. I've been saying it for the longest. And I've also said that I think that maybe Nebraska and Colorado could come together, make some type of agreement, and they go to like the SEC and say, look, we want out. You know, we did the Big Ten, we want out. We go to the SEC and play together like that. So you got that Arkansas, Texas A&M, Nebraska, Colorado, you know, that little regional thing going on right there. So I could see that as far as tying the coaches' chips together to put the universities in position to like, okay, hey, look, we're ready to go. But as far as UCLA is concerned, I promise you, not this cycle, but next cycle, the 2025 class, they're getting a 4 or 5-star quarterback. I promise you they're getting one. I promise you, Eric Bieniemy has already circled the wagons on a kid that he wants. I ain't going to tip the bag. If you want to figure out, go read 24/7 Sports because they already got a kid who's been crystal balled next year to go to UCLA to play quarterback. And I'm like, how in the heck did they get this kid? That's because the Eric Bieniemy effect. He can walk in and say, I coached Pat Mahomes. I coached him. So now you want to be Pat Mahomes? Come play for me. Your thoughts, Andy, bro.
No, I agree on that. And I just think like big – you watch more NFL than I do, like straight up. Like I've really kind of fallen off the NFL a lot over the last few years. Part of that's living in New York City, where the NFL is just absolutely terrible.
Big trash in New York. Big trash. Giants, you know, and Jets. Big trash.
Just absolutely terrible down here. But like I always look at this and I just go like, what does this mean, man, for the NFL? Where a guy like Bieniemy, who college football people look at him and go, man, he's really good at offense. NFL guys look at him and go, man, you coach Patrick Mahomes and you made you helped make Patrick Mahomes what Patrick Mahomes is. Like your offense is really innovative. You're learning from Andy Reid and the best. It just feels so weird to me that like the NFL is looking at Bieniemy and going like, you cannot get past an offensive coordinator level.
Yeah.
We're at the college level. It's like, we're talking about him going back home and leading a revival of a program, which is again, I just don't know. Like I'm just curious as to you, as somebody who watches more NFL than me, like this feels like the NFL is being really stupid here.
Yeah, well, I mean, now especially even this part of it, bro, there's not that much separation anymore between the NFL and college football. I mean, considering the dollars and all whatever else, those players from the collegiate ranks hit the ground running in the NFL. That's why so many people is like excited, especially about this 2024 NFL draft, because bro, in my opinion, you got 60, 70 kids that are got first round grades. And as soon as they hit the trenches in the NFL, they're going to be killing them. I.e. why you got this big, long free agency list. So Bieniemy should be able to thrive in college football now to where like a guy like Saban, it was over because he couldn't control it. Saban's big selling point in their NIL stuff was based on the fact of you come to Alabama, we get you ready for the next level. We guarantee you, if you're a star here, you're going to be a first-round NFL draft pick and get a contract. Well, now kids was going in and talking to Saban, talking about, I need a bag. You know, if I'm going to come here and play, I need $1 million, dog. Where my money at? You know, and Saban couldn't deal with it to where Bieniemy is already used to dealing with kids about money and understanding the complexities of money, now you bring him into a program that's now in the Big Ten that has a recruiting base that like there ain't no tomorrow, and he's able to land kids to get there and like, oh, I'm getting you ready for the NFL and you get in a bag. I mean, that's super smart to me, bro. Super smart.
Yeah, I love it. I think I'm sad that the NFL didn't, again, I'm sad that the Steelers specifically didn't give him the bag. But I'm happy for UCLA because I do think that overall this is a net win for college football. I love just personally, and we're about to talk about some spring football and the teams that we're excited about. But yeah, for me, I'm loving this vibe of like guys going back home and guys going back to their colleges. Like I have an affinity for Syracuse because I went there, you know, if it shaped the guy that I am now, and seeing these football players that had that same experience go back home and say like, I want to do that for other kids. That's what makes college football different than any other sport.
Quick side question. In the modern era, best Syracuse football player ever. In the modern era. I'm not talking about Jim Brown and Ernie.
Oh, Gage. No.
Modern era.
Easy. Chan Jones, man. I was a freshman. I missed Dwight Freeney and those guys. But I watched Chandler Jones and just absolutely destroyed Geno Smith and West Virginia twice. First time was my freshman year. I'm sitting front row of the student section. Yeah. And this man, swim move underneath the coverage in under like 2 seconds, just freak athlete that they put at the edge and just said, cause havoc. And man, and also one of the nicest dudes in the world. I have a very funny Jones family story that I cannot tell on air. That's for you and me. That's for you and me in the pre-show. That's one, bro. That, you know, all the fans, you're going to have to come out and meet Big G and I at whenever we record a live show. That's where you can hear this story, because this story is not fit for air.
Yeah, man, I can't wait till our money is right and we get this bus going, man. Like, we got big dreams where we're going to do a college tour, stop at different locations and schools, tour it out, man. We got big stuff. The money just got to get right, but we got big dreams and big aspirations, so that's coming for sure. So, all right, so, bro, last subject. And like, this is maybe the preference subject that people want to talk about, right? Spring football. We're here.
Mm-hmm.
It all started. Listen, I'm going to send you a reel of highlights that I got, bro, from what's going on down there in the Woody Hayes Center. You're going to be like, holy crap. Like, I got some stuff for you, bro, right? So, and I'm not being biased, but every team hits this time of year and they're like, okay, we're getting ready for the next season, right? It starts today. Biggest watches in the spring football, what teams have the most to prove, and your biggest mover after spring football? I know that's a three-loaded question.
Yeah.
But who you got, bro? Andy, who you got?
So I think one of the teams that I'm like most interested in watching during spring football is Ole Miss. This is a team that the expanded football playoff is clearly targeted to help get into that playoff conversation. If a 12-team playoff had happened this past season, Ole Miss would have been in the playoff. They would have hosted a game. They just, you know, the problem is that they are a transfer portal heavy team. And we saw with Colorado, transfer portal heavy teams can start the year really, really hot. But as the season goes on, you're lacking that cohesiveness sometimes necessary to get you through the dog days of your conference schedule. And Ole Miss is entering into a new SEC that, oh, by the way, is just adding, you know, a Texas team that made the college football playoff final. I think that watching what they do, Jackson Dart, obviously he's got a private jet NIL deal.
Oh my God. Becoming a
big dark horse for the Heisman, or not dark horse anymore. He's becoming a favorite for the Heisman.
Yeah, he's second or third in the rankings right now. He's like plus 1,500.
I would not have him that high, but that's just my personal opinion right now.
Yeah.
But this is what I mean. Like, Ole Miss, all eyes are on you, Lane Kiffin. All eyes are on this program. And I think that for them, like for me, that's what spring football is all about, is like when everybody's paying attention to you, how do you handle that pressure? How does the roster handle those position battles? Because so much of spring football is just trying a lot of new stuff and seeing how guys react to it. You're testing to see how the roster is going to react to new systems, to new situations, how it's reacting to new coaches. And ultimately, like, letting a lot of those deep down the roster position battles start to play out, because that's what is the difference between a 10-2 team and an 11-1 team, and an 11-1 team and an undefeated team. It's those razor thin margins that you have to start evaluating in spring that ultimately determine where you're going to be. So for me, Ole Miss, team to watch. Team that I think is going to rise up the ranks. We talked about it last week. I'm very biased towards it, but like, I think Syracuse is a team that people are sleeping on. The schedule's weird. The schedule looks soft when you look at the names, and then you go through the rankings and the stats and you realize their toughest games are all on the road. Their easiest games are all at home, which means that like, they could very easily go 6-6 or 7-5, and it would just be like, that's fine. Which for Syracuse would be a big deal, but you got Kyle McCord back at quarterback. And the biggest issue that Syracuse had last year was the offensive line not being able to protect whoever was taking snaps at quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
McCord seems to be a guy who can get the ball out quickly. He seems to be a guy who's unfazed by pressure, but he was playing for Ohio State last year. And I think the biggest question mark that I have is that Ken McCord, like, look, this is going to be a step down in terms of the offensive line quality. Can he still get that ball out quickly? Can he still do all the things that make him a 4-5 star quality player? Because if he can, Syracuse's ceiling is winning the ACC.
Big
Syracuse's floor. Syracuse's floor is what we know about Syracuse. But their ceiling is winning the ACC if Kyle McCord can do what he did at Ohio State with a worse offensive line. And I think we're going to find that out in spring, because Syracuse has a great linebacker core. And they're coached by Elijah Robinson right now on defense.
Yeah.
And that great coach. There's somebody who knows how to make a quarterback uncomfortable, it's Elijah Robinson.
Yeah. So, just a loaded question, the last part. Who's got the most to prove, bro, this spring?
It is the team that you are repping. It is the team that is sitting in Columbus, Ohio. And this is a great segue to let you talk about it, man. Because, look, Michigan won the national title. They're losing everyone. Texas, national runner-up. They're returning a lot of people, but people are sleeping on Texas for reasons that I don't fully understand, but people are sleeping on Texas. And
Xavier Worthy, Adnan Mitchell, Javante Sweat, and the other defensive tackle. That's why.
Yeah, fair. That is fair. They're returning the quarterback. They're returning a lot of other pieces. But, yeah, losing those guys, that's why people are sleeping on them. No one's sleeping on Ohio State anymore, man. Everyone's looking at Ryan Day going like, man, you lose that Michigan game, you're fired. You lose two games this year, you're fired. I have never in my time covering college football, or as like a really hyper aware college football fan, gone into a season where a non-Alabama team has had this much pressure put on them to win it all. Because that's the end of the day. It's like the expectations for Ohio State is to win the national title. And so for me, it's not necessarily about Ohio State coming out in the spring ball and looking like a juggernaut. Man, Chip Kelly did his press conference today. Chip's in the right headspace for what Ohio State needs.
Yes, I need
to hear the entire coaching staff talk about, say all the right things, say that this is about this year, this is about winning the right things. I need to see how Ryan Day handles these things, man. It's going to get really annoying hearing the same question 8 weeks in a row during spring practice. How does Ryan Day handle that pressure? There's just a lot of little things that Ohio State needs to prove to me if they are going to truly live up to this insane standard that we all have for the Buckeyes this year. And so I'm curious, you're in there, you live it, you breathe it, you're kind of that mindset, man. You've got the high expectations, man.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen with Ohio State this spring season?
Well, that's the segue. The biggest watch, and from a bias standpoint, is Ohio State. I think that Ohio State, listen, let me say this. Based on what I've seen between the film and stuff I've seen with behind-the-scenes camera shots and all whatever else, man, this Ohio State team might be the most talented team that they've had in at least 10 years. 12 years. It's ridiculous. They have NFL talent everywhere, right? But the issue is, and you know, when you talk honest about the biggest watch, I don't know if Ohio State has the right side of the offensive line figured out yet. I don't know that. I know the left side, The left side's good.
That's big.
Right. The right side is a question. I mean, they got Simmons. They got Jackson. Donovan Jackson was All-American. They got the kid to transfer from Bama at center. They're straight. Mm-hmm. Right side, Josh Fryer, and who the heck's playing guard? So, I mean, you know, that's the tell. If you haven't seen it yet, I dare any of you guys go out there and look on the internet and look at pictures of Jeremiah Smith. He's 6'4", 215 pounds, true freshman wide receiver. He's bigger than Marvin Harrison Jr. I wish we had a graphic and a picture where we could put it up in the show. Because I got it on my phone. You know, he's humongous, and he's catching everything on the field. Carnell Tate done leveled up. Quinshon Jenkins is a monster. Travion Henderson is a monster. Like, they got all – Will Howard definitely is going to ball out of control. The defense has got everybody. They moved Sonny Styles to linebacker. So they're probably going to run Sonny Styles and C.J. Hicks out there as the two linebackers this year. Caleb Downs looks like a freak of nature. You know, I mean, he was a freshman All-American and second-team All-American. I promise you, he's going to be a first-team All-American this year. Denzel Burke's a first-round NFL draft pick. There's a lot going on in Columbus, Ohio, but that's where the expectations is. And ultimately, it's going to come down to what Day does. And all the pressure in the world is on Day. Day, you lay an egg against Eugene, out in Eugene, Oregon. You lay an egg down in Columbus, Ohio against Toon. You might as well pack your bags, bro. You're cooked. You better get ready to be packing. So with pressure comes, how do you handle it? I think it was a smart move to hire Chip Kelly to take, so that way he ain't got to focus on the offense. He can be more of an administrator. But yeah, bro, that's my biggest, my biggest, like the one that's got the expectation, the biggest watch. The team that has the most to prove, the University of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
The University of Michigan just had 18 guys at the NFL Combine. I think all 18 guys will get drafted. And I've never said that before about any team that sent more than 14 guys to a combine. I have never said that. I believe all 18 guys that went to the combine for the University of Michigan will be drafted in the NFL. And I'm a preference at this point. They'll all be drafted before the sixth round, too. I think all 18 of them by the end of the fifth round will be gone. That's how much talent that they had there. They had stockpiled at Michigan, i.e. why you have a national championship. So mm-hmm. Now coming in this year, okay, you got Orgy, the quarterback, who's a monster. I got a picture of him I'm going to send you, Andy. You're going to be like, holy, is that Vince Young? I mean, you're going to be like, holy crap. You know, this dude is humongous, bro. You know, so you got him, you got Edwards, you still got some defensive pieces coming back. But can they hold it down? They were super senior led. They had like 44 super seniors and all whatever else. As the culture changed enough in Ann Arbor, and we're going to find out real quick, fast, in a hurry, because they play the University of Texas like week two.
Yep.
So we're going to find out about Michigan. But I'm telling you right now, if the culture ain't changed and there's no drop off, man, look out, bro. Michigan ain't to be played with, you know. And then the team that I think that is my biggest mover after the spring ball, where we'll be talking about an absolute opportunity to contend for a college football playoff national championship, University of Oregon. I think legitimately, after spring ball's done and we get all the reports about what's going on about with Dylan Gabriel and Dante Jones at quarterback, were they able to replace Franklin, the running back? What did they do with center, with Powers Johnson? You know, with those NFL guys that are now moving on. I think that they're going to prove it in spring ball this year. And after spring ball is over with, you're going to be talking about Oregon has a legitimate chance to win the national championship. And I think they got the right coach to do it. I mean, I love Ryan Day, but, bro, if something was to happen and he was cooked, bro, whatever you got to do, get the bag to Eugene, Oregon, bro, and get that coach in there right now today, because he knows what he's doing. So I think those are the teams. And I just got one last little sneaky team, Andy. I'm anxious to see what Colorado looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm telling you, bro, skill position wise, they are loaded. Did they get the trenches taken care of? If they did, look out. Big 12, look out. You know, that's just, you know, my opinion. And, no. And you agree?
No, I think that those are all teams that are great to talk about. I am the biggest Dan Lanning fan in the world. I think what he's doing out in Oregon is going to be one of those things that we talk about for a long time afterward in coaching circles, just in terms of transformational culture, in terms of really good execution at the base level X's and O's. And I, again, man, Colorado is going into a new conference. Like, I don't think Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, all entering the Big 12.
Yeah.
Different beast than the Pac, than what the Pac 12 was. And I think that that is one of the stories that you can't really draw a lot from spring because it's a lot of internal competition. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, like, early on, how do these teams look going into the new conferences? And Colorado does not have an easy non-conference schedule. I am here for it. And I think it's, even though this season is going to feel real weird and it's going to feel real different, it's probably going to be one of the most interesting seasons we've ever seen just because of the sheer amount of movement happening across the board.
Man, I'm going to be itching and scratching once spring ball's done about May. But if I could just make it, Andy, if I could just make it to June going into July, if I could just make it, I got to hold on to make it. Because I'm telling you, man, this is going to be the most exciting college football season probably in our lifetime. In our lifetime, I think this will be the most exciting college football season because all the changes, all the parity, NIL, super teams, you name it, it's going to be going on this year for college football. Andy, final thoughts, bro, as we wrap up another Level Up College Football podcast on Fans First Sports Network.
Keep an eye out. Like Big G and I talked about at the beginning of the show, man. Keep an eye out for what happens over the next week with some of these legal cases, with some of the breaking news around football expansion. I just feel like we are still dealing with ground that has not settled. I do not think that we are on stable footing yet. I think that there is still one more big twist and turn to come. And that's scary, but that's also exciting because I do think that there's a chance that it's something way out of left field that we haven't expected yet.
Yo, man, you know what? I agree in totality 150% with that, bro, because I think something crazy is going to happen. I think they're going to come out and they're going to say, heck, ACC is disbanded. Notre Dame joins the Big Ten. Florida State and such joins the Big Ten. The rest of them join the SEC. The NC2A is not part of college football anymore. Let's go. You know, I mean, I'm really thinking because we've had so much news happen over and over and over and over again. Hey, my final thoughts is this, man. Thank you guys again for rocking with us on Fans First Sports Network, Level Up College Football Podcast. Man, I have so much fun every week with my co-host, Andy P, bro. This is my guy. We could talk college football for days on top of days on Fans First Sports Network. But as we get closer to the season, you're going to see a lot more of me and Andy P, man. We got some stuff going on. And, oh, God, don't let the money change. Because if the money change, I'm getting Andy out of the business. Andy will retire as a young man. and all we're going to do is get it in, man, about college football, man. So that's the hopes and the dreams. But as of now, everybody that's out there listening to us and supporting us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, thank you so very much. We will check you guys next week on another Level Up College Football Podcast on Fans First Sports Network. We'll see you guys.